If you would take your copy of the biblical text and turn to John chapter 14, it's the same text we're using tonight as we did this morning, and this evening focusing on Jesus' statement in verse 6 of John 14, that I am the way. We looked at this morning this conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. And Thomas asking a question and Jesus addressing that question. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive to myself where I am. Maybe also. Where you go, where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I believe Jesus replying to the question that Thomas asked, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? The emphasis on Jesus' reply is, I am the way. He embodies truth. He is truth. He embodies the life that we are to live here. We are to follow his pattern, and it leads to eternal life. But he says, I am the way, and it's further emphasized in that last sentence of his reply, no one comes to the Father except through me. After Jesus spoke these words, within 24 hours, he would have been executed on the cross and his body laid in a tomb. The news that Jesus is leaving his disciples brought trouble to their heart, and that's why Jesus says to them, let not your heart be troubled. He knew his audience. He knew they were troubled. We saw back in chapter 13 this morning that he had told them he was leaving, and they could not come with him at that time. He says they could not follow him now to where he was going. And their hearts are troubled. And he has the solution for a troubled heart. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. It has to do with their faith in him, their trust in what he is about to tell them. And he tells them that he's going away to prepare a place for them. And he's going to come back and he's going to receive them, that where he is, they can be also. And that brought comfort to their hearts. It's comforting to our hearts to realize that God is sovereign. He's in control. No matter how chaotic this world in which we live may seem, he is on his throne in heaven. We looked at Revelation 4 and 5 and how John was able to see into the throne room of heaven and see that God was on his throne. And that's emphasized in Revelation 4 and verse 5. And that we are obedient to him, that we have a right relationship with God, that we are right standing. It is something that we constantly need to be examining ourselves and say, if I was to pass away right now, would I be found faithful? Would I have a home in heaven? He needed to comfort his disciples, and he did. And we don't need to believe what we see and hear in this world. God is not dead. He's ruling. He's active. He is fulfilling his purposes and accomplishing those. But Jesus said here something in the first few verses that sparked the question that Thomas asked, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus' answer is very powerful. He responds by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If my numbers, my counting serves me correctly, this is about the sixth I am statement of Jesus in the book of John. John is known for having I am statements of Jesus, and Jesus says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But the emphasis is on the way, and that's what I want us to focus on this evening. How can we know the way? I want us to break down Jesus' response to that. I am the way. First part of his response. Think about this as we look at the words. The word I is personal. It's personal. You take Christ, you take Jesus out of Christianity, what do you have left? nothing. Christianity is not just a philosophy. It's not that. It is a covenant relationship with God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying, I am the way. He is saying, I am the path. You know, when mankind needed to know the way to heaven, Jesus did not just send an angel to point us into its direction. He did not select some dignitary to lead a movement to find its source. He did not create or convene a council to study the situation. He came personally, and Todd read from John chapter 1, that first verse that Todd read, verse 14, is so powerful. It says there in John 1, in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is identified in the first words of this gospel record as the Word. If you go back up to John 1:1, and now it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came to this earth. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, Paul writes that He left the riches of heaven and came to this earth in poverty, that we through His poverty might be rich. He came. And when He arrived, He did not say that He knew a way, that He had a map of the way, or that He had read a book once that had some valuable information about the way, but He personally claimed to be the way. He said, I am the way. I personally, Jesus is referring to Himself. He says, I am the way. In John 12 and verse 32, He says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, talking about hanging on the cross, will draw all men to me. Jesus said, I am the way. That second word, am, is present. We do not refer to Jesus in the past tense like we do other human beings or others that have been on this face of this earth, like the Caesars, like Pilate, like Felix, like Josephus, the historian. Why? Because these are historical figures that are no longer present. But Jesus is. Jesus has not been on this earth for over 2,000 years, but we refer to Him in the present tense. After His death and burial on the third day, He came forth from the grave, and Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 says, proving with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection. And we saw this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it's by that resurrection that we have a living hope, a place reserved for us in heaven. But Jesus, we see, is present. When He gave His great commission after His resurrection, recorded in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, that last sentence, and lo, I'll be with you always, always. He is with us. In a sense, He is with us tonight. I believe it. We're in the presence of God. Christ, if you remember, is quoted as saying at the end of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you is what He's saying. And He says there, it's also said about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 8, that He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus is a living Savior. We serve a living Savior. He didn't say, I was. He says, I am, present tense, I am the way. The third word, the, is exclusive. What if Jesus had said, I am a way? I'm one of several ways. Well, I think in the world in which we live, our culture, that wouldn't raise an eyebrow. That wouldn't so much as raise an eyebrow if Jesus just claimed to be a way. But the fact that He said, I am the way, and it's exclusive, He is the only way, there is no other way, That raises a ruckus. People don't want to accept that. They don't want to hear that. But He is the only way. Jesus makes the claim, and it's bold. He says, I am the way. There's no other way to the Father. Look back earlier in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, you remember Jesus had fed the 5,000. And He said that many of them followed them because He fed them physically. But He was trying to teach them that He was feeding them spiritual. And that was important to Him. And He was teaching them. And some of His teachings they felt like were too difficult. And it says in verse 66 of John 6, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Now those are sad words in the Bible. They walked no more with Him because they felt like what He was saying was too difficult, too hard. And they turned their back on Him. They were no longer His disciples. Notice it says many of His disciples. So these were once disciples, but they went back. They walked no more with Him. They decided to quit being His disciple because of what He was teaching. And Jesus, it says in verse 67, said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And this is one of the shining moments of Simon Peter. Look at verses 68 and 69. But Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. A couple of things about what Peter states here. Where do we go? There's no other way. Peter realized that. He had been with Jesus long enough. He believed. It says, in fact, we have come to believe, verse 69, and notice it says, and know. He didn't question it. He believes it's a fact. He says, and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Peter had it correctly. There is no other way to eternal life. There is no other way to the Father. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul writes to Timothy, who's an evangelist in Ephesus, and he says, there's but one mediator between God and man. And what's His name? Jesus. Only one. It's not the mother of Jesus. It's not anybody else. It's Jesus. He's the one mediator between us and God the Father. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, at the beginning of this epistle of Paul, he writes that every spiritual blessing is found in Christ. There is none outside of Him. So you take all of this into account. There is no other way. Jesus says, I am the, excluding anything else. There is no other way. There's only one. We better accept what He has to say because He has the words of eternal life. Where else would we go? Anywhere else only leads to a false hope that leads to destruction. But that last word, way, He says, I am the way, is practical. Practical in nature. When Jesus came, He offered the world what it needed more than anything else. He offered the world a Savior. And think about the rejoicing that took place when the words were stated at the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, unto you is born this day a Savior. What a Savior. He is the way to salvation. And our salvation centers around one name and one name only. And that's the name of Jesus, the sweetest name of all. The name of Jesus means salvation of Jehovah. The words save or Savior are found in Scripture 386 times in various forms. The name Jesus is found 983 times. Jesus is referred to directly as the Savior throughout the New Testament. He is the Messiah that is prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that. Jesus is the way into the kingdom. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, we're baptized into Christ and we become seeds of Abraham, children of God. And as it goes on in Galatians chapter 4, we're adopted into his family. Jesus Christ is the way to the kingdom. He is the way to a life of purpose, a life of joy. People say, I don't know what to do in life. I need to find myself, find my what I need to do. I'm impressed that some people know early in life what they're going to do. But know that living for the Lord is the life of joy and purpose. You remember in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and they may have it more what? Abundantly. Abundantly. Have life more abundantly. What's the best life that you can live? It's a life in Jesus Christ. We need to follow Jesus. It's the path that leads to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. Think about that. It's personal. He's present. I am the exclusive. The way is practical. And he came to show us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's interesting to me that later, after Jesus ascended to God's right hand, after his ascension, that in Acts, throughout the book of Acts, the people that become disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, people that become Christians, are oftentimes referred to as people are those of the way. Those of the way. I want to call your attention to some of those passages. First of all, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 2, and you know whose conversion account is recorded in Acts chapter 9, it's Saul of Tarsus. He's been a persecutor of the church. He's introduced. He's at the feet of those that are stoning Stephen. He's holding their coats. He's approving of what they're doing. In fact, in Acts chapter 8, as it opens up, he's wreaking havoc on the church. And because of the persecution that he is leading against Christians, we see that some of those Christians in Jerusalem begin to spread the gospel. They leave and go to Judea and Samaria, but they take the gospel message with them. And we see the conversion of the Ethiopian there in Acts chapter 8. But when we get to chapter 9, Saul is on the road to Damascus. He has credentials in his hand to bind up Christians in Damascus and to bring them back to Jerusalem, to persecute them heavily. And I want you to notice in Acts 9 and verse 2, it says, and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Of the way. Followers of Jesus who says, I am the way. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 9, and also in verse 23. Paul is preaching in Ephesus. Ephesus is one of those places that Paul, on his journeys, I think this is his third one in Acts 19, but he stays here longer than perhaps most places he went for a space of 3 years. And in Acts 19 and verse 9, we see that he wasn't that well received the whole time he was in Ephesus. There were some, it says in verse 9 of Acts 19, that spoke evil of the way. And in fact, in verse 23, it says, in about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. But the way being referred to oftentimes by the enemies of Christ. But sometimes we see that the disciples refer to themselves in this way. In Acts 22 and verse 4, Paul is recounting his conversion. And in Acts 22 and verse 4, he says, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. And remember that Paul says in verse 16 that Ananias said, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He went from being a persecutor of the way to a preacher of the way, following Jesus. Jesus who says, I am the way. But also in Acts 24, verse 14, and in Acts 24, verse 22, Paul is before Felix, the Roman governor. And it says in verse 14, but this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. And then down in verse 22, he says, we see that Felix, having a more accurate knowledge of the way, we see that he adjourns the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. But he is teaching others of the way. But it's interesting, a description of Jesus, an I am statement of Jesus. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, and we are to be people of the way. And I think about the descriptions of Jesus and how we are to become like him. And I think about how he is the light. We see that in John chapter 1, that Jesus is the light. In fact, another I am statement in John chapter 9, when he healed the man that was born blind, he said, I'm the light of the world. But you know what? You and I are to be the light of the world. Because when he preached that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He's the light. And he transforms us out of darkness into light. And we are to be people who live and reflect his light. Just like the way. He says, I am the way. We are to be people of the way. We are to follow the way. We're to show the world the way to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way. Are you a child of God this evening? Jesus died on the cross, resurrected from the dead. He's the head of the church. He has all authority. It's been given to him. We need to respect what he says and follow his teaching. In Acts, the people of the way, how did they become people of the way? They believed. They repented of their sins. They confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just like Peter said in John 6, we believe and know you are the Son of God. Are you willing to confess that and be baptized and wash away your sins? As Paul said, he was instructed to do in Acts 22 and verse 16. And live faithful unto death. To be people of the way, living right, showing others the way. The way of the cross leads home. I noticed Alan selected a song tonight that has the way in the title. And let God have his way with you. Are you willing to do that? He's the potter. We're to be the clay. Let him mold you and shape you. Let the Lord lead you to heaven. I hope we're all saved together one day. If you need to become a child of God or you need to repent of your sins, you're already in a covenant relationship to him. If you'll come, we'll be glad to assist you. Come while together we stand and sing.